This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studios designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Alphabet earnings to include data on YouTube and things they're doing in the election. NASA smashes some very, very serious speed records. Uber is temporarily suspend users and drivers over coronavirus in Mexico. And have a first aid question? Well, don't ask Siri. Everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for you today. And I was confused here. I was pushing a couple of buttons and the right things weren't happening. Hopefully they are now. Everyone, welcome to the show. I got a great show for you. And I want to welcome you to episode 1422 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, February 3rd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. We're live once again. We're on live at live.geeknewscentral.com. So if you get over there, you can basically watch the show live. Or if you're on Facebook or on Twitter, we're there as well. We're on Twitch, Mixer as well. So lots of places to catch the show. Many of you will be hanging out with me tonight on Facebook. And if you are, just say hello while you're over there. Make sure you check in. We want to hear from you, of course. And if you're a brand new listener of the show, I want to make sure that you take time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the main part of the website, it's real simple to get subscribed to the show right on the right-hand column of the website, either via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher, via email, or even RSS feed. Yes, we will send you the show announcement right by email. That's kind of hard to believe, right? But that's one of the options that is out there. You can subscribe to our newsletter while you're on the main site as well. I basically send you a exact copy of everything that we're going to put on the website with all the show notes. That's a great way to stay connected. We definitely want you to do that. And of course, you can always participate in some of our chat room functions as well. We have a Mastodon server at geeknews.chat. We're on Discord and we're also on Slack. So it's really a piece of cake to get connected with the show. It really, really is. All you got to do is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. That's the best way to stay connected. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com or use your smart home device. Say the magic word to get that smart home device to listen to you and say play the podcast Geek News Central. And again, you can contact me via email geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter @geeknews. That's the best way to stay connected with me. That really, really is. Of course, you can follow on Facebook. All of our partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. That includes GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my team at progear.guru, and of course, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, the podcast Legend Show. You can always pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. But the most important part of this show is our sponsor, our good friends at GoDaddy.com. The longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and you can save money, lots and lots of money. And that's what it's all about by going over to my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and picking up a promo code to save money on either domain names or hosting accounts. We've got a 30% off new product purchase promo code. We've got a $499.com promo code for new or transferred domains for new customers only at GoDaddy, or $1 a month economy hosting for the first year includes a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year includes a free domain. There's no better deal in the podcasting space or in the hosting space or in the world today. You're going to get the best deal to get started with an online account. And they're all, again, at my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can click on the promo code to lock in the savings. Double check when you get to the checkout that the promo code has been applied. You'll see it in the checkout counter, the actual code that you have used. Of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. That's a 1-month free trial. Again, all these codes. Now, Geek News Central listeners have saved an average of $116 per purchase at GoDaddy when they picked up a hosting account, and an average of $7.59 on each GoDaddy domain name that they buy. All these codes work. They're non-expirable, and you're definitely supporting this show and the writers at my team at geeknewscentral.com. We're in a new month, so I'm under new pressure. I want you to step up. And really, you know, GoDaddy makes sure that, you know, I have to bring them new customers. I want you to help support the show. If you can't do an in-kind show donation, you can link to my page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can talk about this on your social media at work. If you hear someone talking about starting an online business, send them over. Let them use that 30% off new product purchase code. That's huge. It's a huge, huge, huge savings. That's one of the few that no one else has, that 30% off on new product purchases. You're picking up a server. You're picking up some sort of account for online sales, that type of stuff. Email, special emailing software. All this is available at GoDaddy. You can use that 30% off new product purchase code, even on hosting accounts as well. So that's, it doesn't work on renewals. It's on new product purchases. So definitely use those promo codes. And again, they're very, very simple to find. And again, they're available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. For those of you watching, I'll leave that up for a few moments so that you can copy that down. And again, if you're watching live, make sure you say hello, check in. Got a lot for you to cover tonight in the show. Kirk went through and did a great job of finding stuff, but just going to get you caught up here. Well, what happened? I drove back Friday afternoon from Columbus, and really nothing to report Friday night. Saturday, I got in here early before the show, just because I'd been gone a week for the new media show, make sure the studio was up, running. We did the new media show, got that done, and while the video was encoding, I installed a new router. Now, the router in the studio had been flaky at best. The wired connections were good, but the Wi-Fis kept dropping. Phones were like not connecting. It just, you know, I don't know what it is with routers, but it seems about every 2 years, a router just flips its wig and dies, or 3 years. And I had brought that router with me from Hawaii. And I just don't know what it is with routers. Why don't they last as long as they, it seems like they should last a long, long time. So I had one waiting here for me, and I ordered and picked up one of the better ones that was reviewed in from last year and installed it. So far, everything came up. You know, I was always surprised. I used the same passwords, the same SSIDs. A few cameras had trouble reconnecting, re-authenticating. I went through and got those reset. But the security system, the digital IP cameras here in the studio, all those reconnected fine, and really had very, very few, knock on wood here, very, very few issues. And when you have a IP-connected studio, those assignments of IPs that some of them are hard-coded, so I had to bring stuff up when it's first registering with the system to make sure there isn't issues and reserve stuff. But anyway, so that all went well. But again, our new media show went well. We had the CEO Pocket Cast on. So if any of you have used that app, he was our guest. So you may be interested in that. Of course, you can find Geek News Central on Pocket Cast. Then Sunday, I had found a piece of furniture the week before. And a dresser, got it at an antique shop, not really an antique shop, kind of like a secondhand shop, and paid $100 for it. It was nice, older than me. So I figured it'll last me the rest of the time I'm alive. And I picked up this piece of furniture, and my brother-in-law and I hauled it back from Angola, Indiana, and carried it up into my loft and just about killed each other getting it up in there. The thing was heavy. And then Sunday really kind of went through and cleaned the loft completely. Then Sunday afternoon, Super Bowl with friends. And but about the almost beginning of the fourth quarter, I kind of like punched out of the party and came back to the house and kind of watched Super Bowl final throughout the evening. And then also did tax prep work. So one of those pretty busy weekends, and then a very, very full day here in the office, and just, you know, standard stuff. But anyway, let's get into the content. I got a big stack of stuff for you tonight to get through. And again, Kirk did a great job getting through the content. And I'm pretty happy with myself, though, because tallying all the bills from CES, and I stayed on budget this year completely, which, you know, at CES, it seems like always something goes sideways. But this year, it wasn't my job to bring all the gear and everything. So it was nice to come back and have a fixed bill and kind of know where it was going to be within a couple hundred dollars. You know, food is always a variable, but, you know, we were trying to be careful, and I was very, very pleased with everything on the budget. And that's saying something for that show. It's usually I come home and I'm like gasping at the credit card bill because something had popped up that cost me extra money. But this year, no big surprises. So stayed on budget. So bravo, 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 bravo. All right. Enough of me gaggling away here. Let's get into the content. Hey, Alphabet has reported, of course, Alphabet is the parent company of Google and all those enterprises. They're reporting a quarter four 2019 revenue of $46.07 billion. So those numbers range from October to December, includes a busy holiday shopping season, of course. Revenue is up 17% from $39.27 billion in Q4 2018, with operating income at $9.27 billion. And net income of $10.67 billion for this quarter that they deposited in their bank account. Now, they have a bigger budget sometimes than some countries. For comparison, Alphabet reported $40.49 billion revenue and $7.6 billion in net income last quarter. The stock is down around 3% in after-hours trading by missing revenue estimates. The Google team says our investment in deep computer sciences, including AI, ambient computing, and cloud computing, provides a strong base for continued growth and new opportunities across Alphabet. The CEO said, I'm really pleased with our continued progress in search and building two of our newer growth areas. We'll talk about YouTube's revenue. They broke that out for the first time. Says in 2019, we delivered strong revenue growth with revenues of $162 billion, up 18% year over year and 20% on a constant currency basis. So think about that for a second. $162 billion for a little thing called search, YouTube, and all the other stuff, advertising. It's a lot of money. Huge, huge juggernaut in the space. The 162 billion pound gorilla. At the same time, YouTube tops 20 million paying subscribers. The YouTube TV has over 2 million subscribers. I am one of them. And that's pretty amazing. YouTube Music and a YouTube Premium, again, have 20 million paying customers. And YouTube TV, Google's over the top, has 2. Google's YouTube subscribers base grew the video platform a 3 billion run rate as of the fourth quarter. The new details come after Alphabet's, Google's parent company, disclosed YouTube's ad revenue for the first time at $15.15 billion in ad revenue. So if you think about that, if they had $15.15 billion in ad revenue, I think they do a rev share of like, I think the podcaster gets like 20% or something like that. So the revenue was up 36% from the year prior. YouTube's advertising sales were $4.72 billion, a 31% year-over-year increase. YouTube's ad revenue in 2019 was close to double over the prior years versus 2017 ad revenue of $8.15. So YouTube's Q4 ad revenue growth was grown by substantial uptick in direct response advertising and ongoing healthy growth in brand advertising represents the largest revenue component. Alphabet sees significantly more room to grow YouTube's overall revenue haul. And of course, we know that YouTube Premium is priced at $11.99 per month in the United States, provides ad-free access to all videos, including music. And of course, YouTube Originals, YouTube Music costs $9.99 a month, and YouTube TV is priced at $50 per month after the rate hike from last year. So YouTube is raking in the cash. YouTube TV is raking in the cash. Google's raking in the cash. And then YouTube says ahead of the Iowa caucuses that's happening, I think, as we speak, as I'm doing this live, YouTube pledges to remove deep fakes and voting disinformation. The company spelled out its policies on manipulated media as a 2020 election season kicks off in earnest. Hey, Marty, hi. Thanks for joining the live stream tonight. And thanks for saying, she says, hey, Todd, great show on the new media with CEO of Pocket Cast and also StreamYard. Yeah, thanks so much. Those are two great guests. I agree. So anyway, the video service said it would take down technically manipulated or doctored videos as well as content that tries to mislead people about voting and census issues. At the same time, they issued a policy document that said supporting the 2020 U.S. election, and it's talking about tackling threats and abuse, talk about equipping campaigns, talking about helping voters, and some of the things they're doing. So YouTube really Google today talking a lot about what they're going to do in trying to make sure everyone plays fair in the upcoming election and less manipulation by, third parties. Apple, on the other hand, announced today that it will be providing special coverage of the 2020 presidential election in the United States, complete with news analysis from dozens of sources, including ABC, CBS, CNN, 538, Fox News, NBC News, ProPublica, Reuters, The Los Angeles Times, New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, USA Today, and others. How about C-SPAN on there? They're saying they're going to be introducing special coverage. Nothing about keeping bad news out, but we'll see what happens with that. And again, if you're joining us live tonight, thanks. We definitely appreciate it. Appreciate you joining the show. And I should have changed this to public. Let me do that. That'll let more people get in. So NASA in the news. Boy, oh boy. They smashed two wild records as its solar probe approach and pass the sun. So the story goes that NASA's Parker solar probe took the record for the fastest human-made object and the closest object to the sun. Now, the solar probe was launched in 2018. It's built to withstand the scorching temperatures of the sun's outermost atmosphere, unraveling some of the mysteries, quote unquote. Now, Parker set two records in November 2018 as the fastest human-made object at 153,454 miles per hour, or the closest spacecraft to the sun at 26.55 million miles. But those records have now been surpassed by the probe itself. It's now traveling at 244,255 miles per hour, and the closest a spacecraft has approached the sun at this point is 11.6 million miles. Now, it's going to continue to smash its own records all the way through 2024 as it gets even closer to the sun, protected by quote unquote, a cutting edge heat shield. Yeah, we'll hope to keep our fingers crossed there. But the probe will eventually get within 4.3 million miles of the sun's surface. They say in December 2019, the first batch of data was released from the Parker probe, and it was released in the prestigious Journal of Nature. And they say it was pulled back the incredibly bright curtain of the charged particles and plasma dynamics in the sun's atmosphere. And of course, there's some additional news about the Daniel K. Inouye telescope in Hawaii, talking about snapping its highest resolution. I've got an article that's completely dedicated to that as well. And I think I just pronounced a late senator's last name incorrectly. So those of you in Hawaii that know me, yes, I've always had challenges with his last name. Moving on here, Uber has temporarily suspended 240 accounts in Mexico over the coronavirus. So what happened here, in a statement posted on Twitter, the company said it suspended customers who had traveled with two drivers who had suspected contact with the coronavirus. The country's health officials confirmed that Uber driver had given a rider a ride to a pastor from Los Angeles who was infected with the virus. Based on the information from U.S. health officials, the man spent 2 days in Mexico City, but didn't display symptoms until returning to the United States. None of the suspected cases have developed symptoms in 10 days since the contact, including hotel personnel and others from the ride-hailing company. Cases will be monitored for 14 days, health officials said in a statement. To date, there have been no confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Mexico. All right, so I'm going to tell you guys something, and don't please just take this for what it is. So there's been lots of discussions about transmissivity, how this virus is being transmitted. So when you go and use a public restroom, and if they don't have any of those pull-down sheets to put on the toilet, you know what I'm saying? Those little paper pull-downs? Well, I would advise to use two or three, because they say that the coronavirus in fecal samples is surviving the transit through patients' guts. So what's coming out of people is potentially carrying the coronavirus. So I know that's kind of gross, but it's good to know, right? And I travel through a lot of airports, and, you know, invariably, once in a while, you have to use the bathroom. So make sure that you're using those paper pull downs to cover the seat, and just be aware. All right. So that's not one way that you think about catching a virus that scares the living crap out of me. And I saw that in a CDC thing today. So just be aware of okay, for a better word, where you're taking a poop. Be careful. All right. So anyway, so Uber doing the right thing here and suspending and letting these passengers and the drivers know that they had potential exposure to this thing. And, you know, I'm going to LA next week. And there are not face masks to be had. If you want to order, everyone in the country has ordered face masks. And, of course, they went up in weight, you know, 3-ply. I don't know if that's going to protect you anyway. But it's just like anything else. You know, I've kind of learned going to CES and other events. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Keep your hands off your face. Take an effort not to touch, like going on escalators. Don't touch the escalator, you know, not hold the rail on the escalator. And, you know, just door handles and all those places, those millions of places where we normally touch, you know, just be aware. And this is good for the regular flu too, okay? So just be aware. All right, moving on here. Have you ever asked Siri a question? You know, I'm to be honest with you, I for a long time I've not been super impressed with Siri and the responses that she comes up with, but they did a study. And if you have a first aid question, don't ask Siri. Don't do that. Cuz you might not get a good answer. Because they did a whole bunch of tests, and they turned out really, really bad. A new study from the University of Alberta published Tuesday in the medical journal, the BMJ tested smart assistants Siri, Cortana, Alexa, and the Google Assistant on their ability to respond helpfully to first aid questions. While Google Assistant and Amazon's Alexa way outperformed Apple Siri and Microsoft's Cortana, the results as a whole were underwhelming. The researchers asked all of the smart assistants 123 questions on 39 first aid topics such as heart attacks, poisoning, and nosebleed. Both Google Assistant and Alexa recognized topics over 90% of the time and gave accurate and helpful responses in about half of those instances. Meanwhile, Siri and Cortana responses were so poor that it prohibited their analysis. Overall, the device's responses were of mixed quality, ranging from the provisions of factual guideline-based information to no response at all. One of the study's authors is Christopher Card, is a nursing educator at the University of Alberta. He told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that he received a smart assistant as a gift as playing around with it in the ER when he started wondering about how helpful the device would be in an emergency. It's not good. Now, a bright spot for Siri, Google Assistant, and Alexa, they all have the ability to call 911. The rub is, unless commanded explicitly, only Alexa and Google Assistant recognizes situations which is appropriate to make those calls, and then only half of the time. So instead of, you know, clap to turn the lights on, three claps to call an ambulance, you know, now you got to, if you have a Google Watch on or an Apple Watch on or an Android device, whatever it may be, and you're trying to get assistance, they may not save you. So interesting, yeah? You would think that would be a huge focus on these devices to get that right. Now, if you really want to be excited here, only three of the top 100 international airports pass basic security checks. And this is cybersecurity checks. Tests involve scanning public websites, mobile apps, and exposure of sensitive airport data on public code repositories in the dark web. The three that passed were Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands, the Helsinki Vantaa Airport in Finland, and the Dublin International Airport in Ireland. According to ImmuniWeb, these three may serve as laudable examples, not just the aviation industry, but to all other industries as well. The three are the only airports that pass a long list of security tests that involve checks of their public websites, official mobile applications, and searches for leaks for sensitive airport or passenger data in places like cloud services, public code repositories, the dark web. So they scan for proper implementation of HTTPS. That's, if you were on the New Media Show on Saturday, my HTTPS SSL certificate did not get renewed and you couldn't get to the website. That was an improper implementation of HTTPS that we had to fix. If the airport's email supporter supports SPF, DKIM, and DMARC, that's basically anti-spam stuff, which even my lowly email supports. If website content management systems were running up-to-date versions of vulnerable components, compliance tests with PCI, DIS, NIST, and HIPAA guidelines. You know, we have to run our service for PCI testing every month at a minimum. I don't deal with HIPAA data, so I don't have to worry about that. But also, if the airport system uses a web application firewall, test for common misconfiguration cookies, headers, and other security systems, it just goes on and on and on. 97% of the websites contain outdated software. 24% of the websites contain known and exploitable vulnerabilities. 76% and 73% of the websites were not compliant with GDPR and PCI. Oh my God, how do they collect credit card data? 24% of the websites have no SSL encryption or use obsolete SSL v3. 55% of the websites are protected by OAuth, which is okay, but come on. Mobile application security. 100% of the mobile apps contain at least 5 external software frameworks. 100% of the mobile apps contain at least 2 vulnerabilities. 15% of security or privacy issues are detected per app. 33.7% of mobile apps outgoing traffic had no encryption. So it just goes on and on and on. And these are airports that are trying to protect us and our data when we travel. Sounds like they need to hire some good IT people. Marty says, I don't use Siri or other types as it's not helpful and frankly too invasive for me. I do have a brain to use. I agree. Here's the thing about, I use GPS a lot. I use these apps a lot, but it's not a replacement for common sense. If it tells you to turn right and there's nothing to turn right to, don't turn right. I'm being extreme, but it's true. These apps will lead you astray sometimes. If you are in Iowa today and you are caucusing, mobile app problems could delay the results, which I think will start in a couple of hours. So they're having issues with their app. Democratic county chairs in Iowa told Bloomberg that the precinct chairs were having problems downloading or signing into the mobile app used to tabulate and share results from roughly 1,700 sites. They could provide results through a phone line, but the problems threatened to delay reporting on results for hours. So what do we always tell people? Sign into the app early, check it, make sure you're good. Probably half those issues were people were putting in the wrong password or something like that. The problems aren't expected to affect accuracy, and there weren't concerns about security. So the Democrats first used a phone app to submit results in 2016. So it would just be a delay. They can still use paper if they need be. Those of you that are Lego fans, and of course you heard there's going to be this, of course, how did you miss it? If you watch the Super Bowl, there's going to be a new Lego show. And by the way, what were your favorite commercials? I'd be honest with you, I don't know if I had a favorite. I laughed at a couple of them, but the group I was with was super picky and critical and calling stuff out, and it was kind of interesting to listen to the commentary about it. So, but anyway, Lego has released the International Space Station, and they're offering a bonus space patch. So Saturday, February 1st, on the same day that Lego debuted the 864-piece International Space Station ISS set for sale, the colorful space patch is a bonus for members of Lego's loyalty program, which is VIP. So anybody ordered this? Do we have any Lego fans that are part of the Ohana here that are going to build the International Space Station? I'd love to see a picture of it if you do. I just don't have the patience. I think it's cool. I don't know where I'd put this stuff, to be honest with you, as well. In more news, for those of you Star Trek fans, a new Star Trek series, Section 31, to start filming when Discovery Season 3 wraps. So if you're getting ready for the most, if you get ready for the return of Her Most Imperial Majesty, Mother of the Fatherland, Overlord of Vulcan, Dominoes of Kronos, Regina Andor, Emperor Philippa, Giorgio Augustus Lapunus Centaurius. And I know that all you Star Trek fans, please don't shoot me. I know I didn't pronounce half that right. But anyway, the first episodes, of course, Star Trek Picard have aired and being scrutinized heavily on social media. But don't forget about season 3 of Star Trek Discovery and the new spinoff show, which may or may not officially be called Section 31. So what do you say about Picard? Love to hear it. Is it worth me buying CBS extra pass or whatever I have to get that? So some of you Star Trek fans that listen to the show, I'm sure you're going to let me know whether or not this is a worthy series to watch. Be honest with you, I'm having a hard, as on Netflix, as on Amazon Prime. I started a couple, there's a lot of crap. CRAP out there right now. They're producing so much stuff. It's just a lot of junk. I'm not, just not catching my attention. But anyway, may the force be with you. We'll see what happens here. I know. That's not, that's the wrong series. I'm just playing. I really, really am. Oh my gosh. All right. How to shop for a smart home security camera. Some of you guys' brains just exploded. Smart security cameras are everywhere. You know, I've used Nest for a couple of years. I've got some Wyze cameras as well. I like both. I really do. I like the Wyze for the price, and I like the Nest for the functionality. I like Nest because I can scroll back 10 days on the video feed. On Wyze, I can scroll back, but it's not as intuitive. It's easier for me to take the SD card out. There's no cloud storage. I don't pay for any of that. So I'm a big fan of Nest and Wyze. But you know what to consider, indoor versus outdoor. And I have an indoor-outdoor camera being used indoors. It works perfectly. just because I didn't dare drill a hole through my sister's building. But you want to look at brand reputation, battery, cellular backup, all that. How much you can spend, somewhere between $150 and $400. The Wyze cameras are $20. I like those a lot. I've got a couple just laying around here so that if I decide I need to drop one someplace, because if I'm worried about an issue, if I want to put one out the back and I'm not worried about within a couple of months it going bad, no problem. $20. So, and Wyze has some outdoor ones now too. And they've got some that are out, again, it's a pan. I've got one in my loft that will pan and follow you around. It's kind of fun to have it running. But there's some other ones from D-Link and Arlo as well. So a link will be up in the show notes on this if you're thinking about a cam. Hey, Stephanie, how are you? Thanks for joining the show tonight. And if you're on Facebook, please say hello. I'd love to have you just check in. All right, 5 ways to use Google Flights to plan your trip and save money. You know, I've always looked at Google and tried to see if I could see who's got the cheapest deals going. I usually never book hotels through online services. I don't do these packages because it always puts me in some weird place. But I do use Google Flights to basically find deals. Now, they're saying to use Google Flight packages. If you're not picky about the hotel you stay at and you want to get a package deal, this is the way to go. You can browse inexpensive hotel options. You can scout for affordable fares. And you can explore the differences in flights between American, Delta, United, Southwest, Spirit, all those airlines, find out which one it is, how many stops, how much travel time. So it is pretty powerful. So link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. I'm a big fan of Synology network attached storage devices. And I've got a DS15 something. It's a 5 drive unit. And it's done me very, very well. I think in the 4 or 5 years that I've been running Synology, how long has it been? I think Jack turned me on to Synology. One of you turned me on to these network tech storage devices. And I had used a variety of things over the years, and nothing, be honest with you, nothing has compared to the Synology drives. And I have one of the disk stations. It's got, again, it's got 5 drives in it. I think I've burned 1 drive over the years, and I've got a, drive on the shelf. So if one goes bad, pop it out, put a new one in, it rebuilds itself, and within 24 hours, it's completely good again. So, I'm a big fan of their stuff. So they've made the top list here at MakeUseOf.com. Most of you will not need a DS1819. You will not. This is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 drive bay unit. It's $931. It's overkill for 95% of you listening to the show. They've got some 2 drive units, which are good as well. A DS718 for $399. I like the 5 drive unit. Western Digital MyCloud Personal NAS drive at $279. That's a double drive. The a budget NAS drive is a QNAP TS231P. It's a couple $100. Again, 2 drives. But, one thing you ought to consider too is the hard drive you put in there. Red Western Digital drives is what I use almost exclusively for my network attached storage devices. They are the best. They're designed to be NAS drives. Again, and they have available storage, 750 gigs run through 14 terabytes. You're going to pay a little bit more to those. A secondary type of drive that you may want to consider is the Seagate Ironwolf NAS internal hard drive. That's another good one, but I've had good luck with those Reds, specifically Western Digital Red drives, have been really, really good to me. So, I'm talking about it now and I'll come in here tomorrow morning and NAS will be beeping at me with a bad drive, but had real good luck with those. So, again, if you're looking for network attached storage, and many of you are getting a lot of storage, from pictures you're shooting on your phones, some of that's up in the cloud, but are you storing that on site as well? Do you have a copy of it at home? Are you organizing it by year so someday you can go back and people make sense of all the stuff you're, because we're shooting more pictures than we ever have and videos and everything else. You got to offload that somewhere and be safe. And you need a NAS to do that. Not just some hard drive, unless you're using multiple hard drives and backing up. NAS is pretty safe. Okay, so I didn't even hear about this. I maybe we talked about it before, but do you guys remember us talking about OneWeb? So OneWeb is joining a satellite internet gold rush this week. And be frank with you, where did this come from? How did we miss this? I'm not sure. But for the better part of the year, SpaceX has gotten its lion's share of attention by launching 240 Starlink satellites. Well, OneWeb launched their first six satellites of its mega constellation back in 2019. Initial tests of those satellites went well, the company said. Now OneWeb is preparing for its second launch of 34 satellites aboard a Soyuz rocket from Kazakhstan, and it's supposed to go down on Thursday, February 6th. So OneWeb Chief Executive Officer Adrian Stecko says the company is ready to scale up. The testing has went over the past year. They want to get 648 satellites up and then expand to as many as 5,260. And they're using a little different approach in SpaceX and how it plans to interact with customers on the ground. So going to be a lot of those little mini satellites running around up there. A lot. So we'll see what happens with this. A telecom pioneer and convicted fraudster Bernard Ebbers has died. WorldCom inflated its earnings to mask the impact of the 2001.com crash. He went to prison for that. And he was let out of prison in January due to bad health. No, December, after serving 13 years of fraud, and has died. So if any of you remember that, some of you probably lost money on that, on their 401k to the fraud. You know, this guy caused a lot of pain to a lot of people. And Bernard Ebbers is dead. Boy, the folks from Planter, they killed the Planter peanut, right? They drove him off a cliff. And now we've got Planter baby. Planter's baby. Baby nut meme. Well, Twitter's had all kinds of people set up accounts, and some of them were by Planter themselves. They were using each other to cross-promote, and they've banned those accounts. So some of the marketing backfired, and some of the stuff that was trying to artificially promote their marketing strategy has kind of come around and smacked them in the head, and Twitter has deleted some of these sites, and it's not entirely clear if they were by Planters or by marketing agencies or what, but that is the case. And we knew that they weren't going to kill the Planter, so they'll be having fun with the Planter's peanut baby. I think we talked about this on the last show. I thought so. TechDirt's got it covered. Facebook pays $550 million in settlement to Illinois facial recognition lawsuit, which I guess is a continuation, could now cause problem for a company called Clearview. And Clearview's might be in trouble now, and some of the stuff that they're... I swear we talked about this on a previous show. It probably did. It just popped up again. But anyway, we know that Facebook will pay $550 million to settle a claim it harvested users' facial data without consent in violation of a 2008 Illinois privacy law. And this announcement comes 8 days after the Supreme Court denied Facebook's petition to review the case and halt an impending trial that was put on hold in 2018 when Facebook appealed a lower court decision advancing the case. So $550 million to that state. Jeff Bezos paid more than $16,000 in parking tickets while renovating his D.C. mansion. More than 564 citations were issued. I guess they were given parking tickets to contractors and everything. He paid $23 million for the property, and I guess $16,000 in parking fines was just a drop in the bucket. Oh. So he's got $5,600 in unpaid ones still outstanding. You know, most of us will get arrested for an outstanding parking ticket if you don't pay it. I don't think they're going to come and serve him and arrest him for $5,600. All right. Leaked Samsung announcement pegs February release for the Galaxy Home Mini. I'm not sure why we'd want to buy this. But as reported by Android Police, the announcement of Samsung's South Korean website said the Bixby-powered Samsung Galaxy Home Mini would arrive February 12th for roughly $83. And so anyway, someone released this before the embargo date was out because the news article is gone already. Windows, since they've basically stopped support of Windows 7, Windows 10 numbers have spiked. Windows 10 in January posted the second largest single month increase in user share. According to data published Saturday by Webmetrics vendor Net Applications, Windows 10 added 3.7 percentage points last month, almost twice the increase of the month before, to end January at 57.1%, a record high. Windows 10's portion of the user share of just Windows PCs climbed 2 points to 64.8. The percentage of Windows PC is larger than the percentage of all personal computers because Windows does not power every desktop and laptop. In January, Windows was the OS of 88.1% of the world's personal computers, a significant increase more than later on of the remainder. All but a small fraction ran Mac OS, Linux, or Chrome OS in decreasing order. And of course, Windows 7 plummets, and it's basically equally when Windows XP expiration happened as well. Stuff just is going to drop like a rock. So we'll see what happens there. How many of you still have a Windows XP machine laying around somewhere? I've got some Windows 7 machines here too that I've got one from Sweetwater that is not getting upgraded. It's my audio recording machine. It's not ever even had a patch. It isn't allowed to touch the outside internet at all. So it's just sitting there at like when it was delivered out of the box, but that's by design. Same thing with my TriCaster. It doesn't get updated at all. It's by design not to, it's running Windows 7. It doesn't ever get any patches or nothing put towards it. Even though it does push stuff outbound, but it's just the function of the machine, and lots of people are running those types of lockdown machines that need to always work and are upgraded begrudgingly. Even browser updates are done slowly. Okay, European Space Agency chief will quit what he called a perfect job in 2021. So apparently there's been all kinds of political stuff going on there. Those of you in Europe will know this. But the ESA chief will quit his job in 2021. So there was some guy that put 99 Android phones in a wagon. And he walked with that wagon along some streets to make it look like there was a traffic jam. So this is brilliant. He took advantage of a process, a hack, as he calls it, for Google Maps. To accomplish this, he loaded 99 smartphones into, a little red wagon and turned them all into maps navigation. As he walked down a street, Google recognizes the high concentration of users and the slow-moving traffic and marks that street as having bad traffic. And he walked, this was in Berlin, and he walked all around the Google Berlin headquarters. Showing that it was very, very bad traffic. And when in actuality, there was no one on the road. This is absolutely hilarious. There's a YouTube video about it. And Google did kind of respond and said, oh, we're always interested in when people do creative things with our, what did they say exactly? Whether via car or cart or camel, we love seeing creative uses of Google Maps as it helps us make maps work better over time. Traffic data in Google Maps is refreshed continuously thanks to information from a variety of sources, including aggregated anonymized data from people who have locations sort of turned on and contributions from the Google Maps community. We've launched the ability to distinguish between cars and motorcycles in several countries, including India, Indonesia, and Egypt, though we haven't cracked the traveling by wagon. We appreciate seeing creative uses of Google Maps like this as it helps us make maps work better over time. That's an awesome positive spin. Dan says, yes, I have one XP machine, but not on the net. Oh, what do you use that machine for, Dan? All right. So you want to see a flip phone in action? Let me just play this little video. For those of you watching, it's a purple phone. It's a Samsung. And it's called the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip. And it's kind of interesting. And the screen looks pretty seamless. Let me start it over again. When it's unfolded, it looks pretty good. So it's interesting. So would you have one of these? For those of you that are listening, a link will be up in the show notes. You'll be able to see the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip. See it firsthand and how it actually looks like. Actually kind of impressed just a little bit. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. TCL will stop selling BlackBerry branded smartphones. Dun, dun, dun. If we had a bumper music to play the death march, this really marks the end for BlackBerry. It really, really does. And there's a further announcement saying that no more BlackBerries after this year. So this is news. And if those of you that were still kind of hanging with BlackBerries, it's done. It really, really is. All right, Toyota and Panasonic have announced a new agreement to start jointly developing manufacturing electric vehicle batteries. Toyota and Panasonic. Toyota owns 51% of the company, and they're going to start on April 1st, 5,100 new jobs. Those of you who use Dropbox, Drew Houston has joined Facebook Board of Directors, and of course, he is the co-founder and CEO of Dropbox. So a big press announcement about him joining the Facebook Board of Directors. Samsung is going to be updating almost five-year-old Gear S2 to improve battery life. There's some new security enhancements and perhaps even a new UI. So if you have a Samsung Gear S2, you're going to get some updates there. And it's almost 5 years old. How many of you have one of these still? Is it in a drawer? Have you actually, you're still using this watch, wearing it on a daily basis? If it is, it's pretty remarkable, it really, really is. In space news, in a rare sighting, astronomers observe bursts of activity as a massive star forms. So here on Earth, we pay quite a lot of attention to the sun. It's visible to us. After all, it's central to all our lives, but it's only one of billions of stars. And they got to see one. It looks like see one be formed. They found the funneling of matter into a forming star happens at different rates over time. Sometimes a forming star swallows up a huge amount of matter, resulting in a burst of activities in the massive star. This is called an accretion burst event. It's incredibly rare. Only three such events have been observed out of all billions of masses of stars in the Milky Way. So this is why astronomers are so excited about the recent observation of it. And they recorded it, I guess. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes along with some videos from space.com. Also, I did mention earlier that the Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope started with some controversy, but its first images are already changing the field of solar science. The Maui Observatory captured the highest resolution photos of the sun ever taken, revealing details down to a mere 18 miles in size. Wow. The image in the picture in the article shows turbulent kernel-like cells made up of boiling gases influenced by the sun's strong magnetic field, each one about the size of Texas. So, it just looks like gold. Therein lies gold, my friends, but no, that's the surface of the sun. So, it is kind of interesting. So each of those is about the size of Texas. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Very detailed article from the team at Engadget. Cox Communications has asked a court to overturn or lower the $1 billion piracy liability verdict a Virginia jury issued late last year. The company argues that there were fundamental flaws in the verdict. Even if the court disagrees, a shockingly excessive damages amount should be lowered, Cox notes. Well, maybe, maybe not. So only $1 billion in damages, and of course, they have appealed that. You would expect that to happen. After all, $1 billion is a tough amount of money for any company to swallow. Kenya has halted biometric ID scheme over discrimination fears. The government has already collected data from 40 million residents. And last year, they introduced a sweeping national biometric identity program with a view to collecting personal biometric data such as fingerprints and facial photographs from its 50 million strong population. Now, however, the program has been temporarily suspended by the country's high court, which has cited concerns about the way the data may be used. Yeah, they already collected 40 million. It's too late. The cat is out of the bag. Decision, which is expected to see an official 500-page judgment released next week, will come as a something of a blow to Kenyan government, which has already collected, again, data from 40 million residents. It will now have to pass new legislation under public scrutiny, which will prove challenging in the face of civil rights group that have opposed the program. Speaking to the New York Times, Yusuf Bashir, a lawyer representing the Nubian Rights Forum, said, "We are hopeful this judgment is a milestone in the quest for equality for all Kenyans." So the Kenyans stood up about their privacy. When will Americans? You want to know what's on Netflix this week? Well, arriving today, Sordo, Team Kaylee, Part 3. Faith, Hope, and Love, Tom Papa, You're Doing Great. On the 4th, that's a Netflix original. On the 5th, Black Hollywood, They Gotta Have Us, The Pharmacist, Netflix documentary, Uppity the Will, T-Rib Story. And on and on and on. I have the list in the show notes if you want to see what's new to Netflix this week. Google Photos is testing an $8 monthly subscription that sends you prints of your best shots. You get 10 prints automatically chosen for you every 30 days. They're going to send you 10 prints of just the photos. Let me read this. 10 prints will automatically be selected from your last 30-day photos. I don't want anybody automatically picking photos to print. That's just a little bit weird. They've got great photo printers out there, folks, today. There's no reason why you can't print your own. Iran says it will launch an observation satellite in the coming days. Yes, an observation satellite. Quote, unquote, the satellite will be used to study earthquakes and agriculture in the country. The satellite name is Zafar. Began development 3 years ago, be launched by a Sigmorg rocket 329 miles above the Earth, and will make 15 orbits daily, collecting imagery to help with the study of natural disaster and agriculture. Yes, an observatory. Yes, something can look down on us here in America, like a lot of other countries do. Oh, here it is. BlackBerry smartphones are dead. Sales officially end in August. Apple will now offer iPhone repairs in the comfort of your home. It's available in 6 cities across the United States. What cities are they? Does it say? So San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Houston, Dallas. So an authorized person will come to your home and fix your phone for you on site if you live in one of those major metropolitan areas. Also, top web browsers in 2020, Edge passed Internet Explorer for the first time 4.5 years after the launch. No surprise there. And there's no sign yet that just released Chromium-based Edge is drawing hordes of new users. Meanwhile, Mozilla Firefox continues to slide, leaving Google Chrome still dominant. Percentages will be in the show notes. So a 21-year-old man who admitted to hacking in Nintendo servers, leaking details about unreleased products, when they raided his home and seized his hard drive, it was found that he also possessed child sexual abuse images. Ryan Hernandez, known online as Ryan West and Ryan Rock, stole and leaked information about the Nintendo Switch. When the FBI busted his door down in 2019, he found to have also downloaded sexual abuse images and videos. He pleaded guilty to the charges and was sentenced in April. Disgusting. I guess he had been at it since 2016 or 2017 when he was a minor. With 1,000 images of videos of child sexual abuse in a folder named Bad Stuff. Disgusting. I just don't get it. But he could be given a 20-year term for possession of all the child abuse images. And he's going to have to pay Nintendo $260,000, and he'll be registered as a sex offender, obviously. A good article on The Verge talking about what the Iowa caucuses means for getting Iowa online. It talks about both parties wanting to bring broadband to rural America and why it hasn't happened. And Iowa's not the only state that has horrible rural broadband. That's a good article. It lays into the issues thereof. Link will be up in the show notes. And finally today, there's a security patch rolling out for a ton of Pixel 4 bugs. So be prepared for that. Android Central has a list of best backpacks in 2020. I always caution people on these best of lists. They've been probably given backpacks to review, and it makes some list, doesn't necessarily make them the best backpacks. And finally, we also, again, talked about the Ring app update, lets you disable police video requests, and they show you in this article on Extreme Tech exactly how to do that. Okay, so, hey, James, hello. Hey, Mike, hello. Thanks for joining tonight. I don't know who else I may have missed. Let's see. I think that's it. Marty and Dan, you all checked in. Thank you so much. All right, let me take a peek here and see if I've got any email that's come in. How are we doing for time? Well, not bad. All right. Oh, no email. But I did hear the EU voted that no lightning cables. They're going to have to be a common cable. So Apple may be forced because of the EU to change up in future releases, the charging cable. It's time to get rid of the lightning anyway. Come on, just make it USB-C. Make it easy for all of us. I have a tendency to agree. Everything's going to that. So let's get her done. All right, folks, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. At Twitter is @geeknews. Don't forget about my sponsor, GoDaddy, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've had a number of people start to add, become insiders and stepping up to, a contribution each month. We've had a number of folks come in at $5 a month. Those are fantastic. So again, just basically putting the call out there, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. The $25 folks, I love you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for your donations. Everyone, I love everyone for the donations, no matter what. But those $25 donations really help the show in a big way. But again, still got a plan to come up. I actually went next door and saw the space again for the first time in about 9 months. And trying to formulate a plan. My sister's got a for rent sign on it, so I better think quick or she's going to get it rented, or we're trying to come up with an idea on how to utilize the space. Just seeing if it makes sense in this community and the number of people that live here, if it makes sense to do something. There is some challenges there, and I just have to really be realistic about that. But anyway, we do appreciate all of you that are supporting the show currently. Help me keep the lights on, keep the electricity and gas bill paid. And biggest gas bill yet, $127. Of course, $70 base. Oh my gosh. I thought, what's up with, why is there a $70 base just to have the gas turned on? That doesn't even include the gas I'm using. There's something wrong here. But that's what it costs to have the gas turned on in a business in this town. It's ridiculous. But anyway, it is what it is, and it's winter here. So I'd either be complaining about the gas bill, complaining about the electric bill. Hey, nothing compares to Hawaii. I'm just being, let's just be fair. But everyone, thanks. Thanks for being part of the Ohana here and being part of the family. Again, we'll see you back here on Thursday. 3 shows in a row from the studios here in Michigan by audiomute.com, and then off to LA for Podcast Movement, an event out there, Evolutions. And look forward to being out in LA for just 4 days and then back, and then out to Houston for a few days and then back and down to Orlando and back. And yeah, ping pong, normal life here of this podcast traveler. But everyone, thanks for being part of the family. Again, thanks. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.